This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by NVIDIA, the inventor of the GPU. NVIDIA's Tesla GPUs are designed to accelerate HPC applications. Learn more by visiting NVIDIA at SC11. www.nvidia.com/SC11.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Vendors open new bag of supercomputing toys.
A look ahead to SC11.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for November 11, 2011. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. You all set for Seattle?
Getting there. It's coming up quickly, a few days away.
This is a busy week for you. I've noticed the news has finally picked up. We got a whole rafts of HPC news coming in.
Yeah, there were a lot of announcements this week. You saw them too. Lots of vendor announcements, people prepping for the show, announcing what they're going to be showing at the show.
I think there's going to be more next week too, and we'll never get through all the news, but, you know, why don't we start by picking, each of us one piece of server news that's already out that you think is interesting.
Okay, yeah, there were a few announcements this week. The one that really caught my attention was the one by Fujitsu. They announced early this week that they're going to be basically commercializing the K computer technology, the K supercomputer that's now sitting atop the top 500 list. They're going to actually build a new version of that with the next generation version of Spark chips, which is a 16-core version, and the same basic architecture, and sell those globally at a worldwide basis. And this is starting in January.
Yeah, I saw that. What an interesting announcement, because they had previously said they weren't going to commercialize this system. I guess they're getting enough demand for it. The next-gen Spark comes out, the Tofu architecture goes commercial, right?
Right. I mean, they hinted at commercializing it, but they never had any specific plans for that generation. And as far as I know, they never sold any other systems besides that one to Riken in Japan for the Big Ten petaflop system. But, it looks like they're serious about this. Their next generation Spark 9 FX chip is, I guess, ready to go because January is right around the corner.
Yeah, that's the other impressive thing about this. If they're saying shipping in January, they're taking orders now.
Right, right. And this one supposedly, will scale up to tens of petaflops. And, obviously they're not going to be selling all these big systems. It scales down as well, but yeah, they want to sell them across the globe. And I'm guessing not too much in the U.S. because these are going to be more high-end systems. But they might get some uptake in Europe and maybe some of the smaller geographies that are a little less sensitive about buying American.
Fujitsu keeps coming on strong.
Yep. And so, what did you see in that arena that caught your eye?
Well, Fujitsu's a good pick, but if you've got Fujitsu, then I'll take Bull on the server side. Bull has announced that it'll have a new line of its supercomputers, the B700 DLC supercomputers for large-scale data centers. Obviously, a lot of the vendors will have new lines of servers around the new chips that we expect we'll see publicly announced soon, the Interlagos from AMD, the Sandy Bridge from Intel, new mic chips, new versions of GPUs. But what I also liked about the Bull announcement was that it's got a facilities implication with these new cooling doors that are designed to reduce power and cooling costs.
Right. Everybody's big on cooling now as they build these denser and denser blade systems. And, yeah, the DLC, I guess, is for direct liquid cooling. So they put a lot of the engineering into that aspect of it.
Right. And, you know, we just completed our newest round of budget map surveys. We're looking at 4 years of data, year-on-year data, of how people divide their budgets. The one area that's gone up every single year is facilities costs. Yep. It's an absolutely greater share of budgets every year going forward.
Yeah, I can believe that. It's space and cooling. Obviously, electricity costs are going up. That's one thing that is going in the opposite direction of all the other parameters and compute density and compute power. But yeah, the maintenance costs are going the wrong direction. So
So nice announcements from Fujitsu and Bull. We'll see what their competitors come out with next week while we're actually at the show. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll go to two pieces of non-server news.
Accelerate your HPC application with NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. As a companion processor to the CPU, Tesla GPUs are designed from the ground up for HPC and deliver industry-leading performance per watt. To learn how Tesla GPUs can accelerate science and engineering, visit NVIDIA at SC11. www.nvidia.com/SC11.
So we just covered a little bit of server news, but we saw a whole lot of other news. Let's look at the non-server announcements this week.
HPC is a lot more than just servers, as we've been saying.
Yes.
So what do you want to pick in the non-server category?
So the one actually I wrote up a short feature on this week was the DDN news, Data Direct Networks. They introduced their new new storage fusion platform, the SFA12K system. It's their third generation system, and it's a big move forward in performance and functionality. And that was a nice development for them. They've been pushing the fusion architecture for since 2009. And
right.
This is sort of the culmination of a lot of things they've been doing.
Well, the nice thing with these high-end DDN products is they're actually pursuing this notion of moving computation closer to the data. They've got these little servers embedded in the data itself where for certain
right.
types of computation or analytics types of applications, you can actually run those in the data system itself without bringing it all the way back to the server.
Right, and that's a big deal now because as the data sets get larger, you don't want to have to go through that network from the external server back to the storage. When you can
right.
run things natively on the gear itself, it's basically a memory I/O thing instead of a network thing. So it's a big deal for them. They've done this through all three generations of their storage fusion architecture, but here it's to the next level, and I think customers are going to start using it to host file systems, all sorts of custom storage applications, and then, like you implied, moving into the analytics world and the big data application world. So interesting development there. Lots more performance, 2.5 times more performance than the previous generation, and new enhanced functionality for
right.
embedded
there are performance claims, there are density claims, there's all
right.
kinds of stuff around this 12K line. But for me, the big differentiator I zero in on is that computation in data.
Yep. So something we'll be looking for as they deploy more of these systems. So that was my pick. What did you see as the other big item in this area?
You know, I'm going to take one that some people might have missed because it's down in the middleware area, but I like some of the new announcements in the Bright Cluster Manager announcement, in particular around how they're handling cloud bursting. This new version of Cluster Manager from Bright Computing not only does the traditional scenario of cloud bursting where you have the concept of you're managing a cluster that's in the cloud or you're moving a workload into the cloud, but more importantly, you can set up now a head node that's part of your local cluster like you normally would and then manage nodes in the cloud as if they're part of your local cluster environment. And there are certain cloud bursting workflows where that's going to make more sense. So you get the overflow of work that the head node is now in charge of moving those pieces of work into the cloud. It's a different type of cluster manager architecture that incorporates cloud. You can start saying, all right, this is my cluster. It's a cluster manager, but it's a cloud-ready cluster. I liked that.
Right. I think we're seeing some of the other vendors, some of their competitors, some of Bright's competitors do that. And, yeah, it's good to see Bright come up with that cloud bursting. Looks like it's going to be sort of a segue for a lot of HPC users into the cloud. And it seems like a good model for the types of workloads that we commonly see there. So, yeah, good for Bright. It's an interesting development there, and we'll see how they do with it.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the competitive landscape. With platform computing getting acquired by IBM, which we've talked about before, which is great news for IBM, and it's going to, you know, really shore up that middleware space. But some people don't want to buy their middleware from IBM, and, you know, this does create a certain market opportunity for Bright Computing, for adaptive computing, for Unova. There's other little companies out there that you might see coming on, like Green Button, has some interesting products for cloud. But, certainly it's good timing for an announcement like this from Bright.
Yeah, it is. we'd like to get to the next part of the show, which is the preview of supercomputing coming up. So let's take a short break, and we'll come back with that.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. Visit NVIDIA at SC11. www.nvidia.com/SC11.
Well, Michael, we've been covering a lot of the news announcements that are part of supercomputing. I know there's going to be more news next week, but the new announcements are only part of it. This is always a big show for us, and I try to, you know, think ahead to what are some of the big things I'm looking forward to. How about you? What are you looking forward to this week in Seattle?
Well, I'm looking forward to a bunch of stuff. I mean, it's going to be interesting just to see the keynote from the CEO of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang.
Yep.
We usually get either some thought leader sort of outside the industry or somebody who heads up one of the prominent HPC vendors, and in this case we got the latter. But obviously NVIDIA's made a lot of news come on strong in the last 5 years, and Jensen's quite an interesting speaker. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say. So I am looking forward to that. There's a lot of news in that area, and he's been a mover and shaker, so...
Jensen gives entertaining talks too. So he's always going to say something exciting. He's going to give a tweet-worthy keynote, I'm sure.
I think you're right. The other stuff, of course, we're going to look at the top 500. I think we know sort of who's going to be at the top of that list. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. There's going to be the IBM Watson system there, who I think IBM Watson makes its rounds at sort of every big computing event over the past year. That's the Jeopardy champion IBM Watson machine.
I can't wait. This will be my first time meeting Watson in person, and after all the coverage we've been talking about it, I love this technology. I hope I get a chance to spend a few minutes with it.
Yeah, I guess they're allowing people to actually sort of play against it. I'm not sure how that's going to work exactly, because I think everyone would try and do that. But, yeah, you could be able to interact with it at some point, and it's going to be featured there by IBM. So that'll be a lot of fun, and I think that'll get a lot of attention. And then there's just some interesting sessions. We've talked about the theme of the show we talked about a couple weeks ago is big data, data-intensive science, and that's going to be a lot of the tutorials and sessions and birds and feathers sessions. But there's going to actually be a couple things that are going to interest me, and one of them is on energy-efficient HPC. There's a Birds and Feathers session, I think, on Tuesday, and they're going to actually introduce a community website for energy-efficient HPC based on embedded processors, and I think we're talking mainly ARM processors here.
Right.
It could open to anybody. So that'll be an interesting development to see, and see how much interest that gets.
ARM and low power is something we've been talking about on an increasing number of podcasts, and especially in light of what I was just saying about increasing facilities costs year on year, could be a very important trend.
Yeah, and I think there's another ARM session later that week on Wednesday with Michael Wolf of PGI, who actually just wrote an article for us that's up on the website about ARM and exascale. So a lot of activity around that. I think we're gonna see that. There's gonna be a lot of processor news in general, I think. The x86 side, the GPU side, and there's some of the new up and comers like ARM. So it'll be interesting to follow that. So that's a sort of a scoop of what I'm going to be looking for, among other things. So what's gonna interest you there, you think?
Well, we've got a lot of things that Intersect 360 Research is going to be involved in. So that's going to, you know, in addition to all of the meetings that we like to take while we're here, because we want to meet with all of the technology providers, all the users, all the policymakers. It's a busy week for us. But in particular, some of the events on Monday, we have our own welcome and networking reception from 1 to 4 at the Tap House Grill, which is on 6th Avenue between Pike Street and Pine Street, about a block west of the Convention Center. All of our listeners would be welcome to come by, and we'll buy you a fine Seattle beer while we're there. We're also sponsors of the Beowulf Bash Monday night, which is always a fun party, and this year is at the Seattle Aquarium. So a couple of great community events to get things kicked off.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like fun, and hope to make it to that event too. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of I see a lot of actually reception and things like that going around there. Hopefully the weather will hold out in Seattle. It looks like it's going to be raining a lot, but people are going to be...
I think it was raining at last Beowulf Bash, too, if I remember right. So something about that party.
Yeah, well, something about Seattle, too.
After that, you know, we were talking about big data and its importance to the show. I think there's definitely going to be a big data theme here. We've got a big data webcast that we're doing as part of the new Tabor Communications publication, Datanami, that you guys just announced this week. We'll be doing a webcast for that. There's also a big data birds of a feather session on Tuesday morning that Intersect 360 Research will be part of. And we're launching our own big data study in terms of the opportunities for HPC technology vendors in big data applications. So definitely a big data theme for us.
Oh, God. Yeah, everything's coming up big data, it seems like. That's come on strong. I mean, it's hard to believe how quickly it's sort of captured the computing world. But, yeah, it seems to be penetrating everywhere.
Well, and the important thing is going to be for traditional HPC vendors who've dealt with a lot of these data scalability problems over time. You know, it's not that big data equals HPC, but if you're an HPC technology vendor in compute, in cloud, in storage, certainly in interconnects, there are going to be opportunities in big data, and that's the thrust behind our study is to unlock what those are and what the buying criteria are for big data. Then, of course, there's going to be Path to Exascale, which we're going to be talking about. There's a breakfast panel on Wednesday morning that I'll be part of on the Path to Exascale. I'm part of a Birds of a Feather session Wednesday night on the practicality of archiving in clouds. So cloud is still a hot topic. And then we're going to wrap up the week with our own analyst crossfire panel with four new panelists on Friday afternoon, and there will be a video of that available after the event. But I'm very excited to put on the hot seat my four panelists, Pete Ungaro from Cray, Don Becker, who's now at NVIDIA, Earl Dodd, who everyone knows from the Rocky Mountain Supercomputing Center, although he's moving on to something else now, and then Keith Gray from British Petroleum.
God, that'll be fun. I like those crossfire panels. I'm going to try and catch that for sure. And if I don't, I'll catch it on the video when you put it up. But yeah, that sounds like a great group there.
Yeah, totally a lot of fun for us. And we'll be able to recap some of it in a special midweek podcast, Michael. We'll do an extra podcast from Supercomputing on Tuesday, and then we'll recap the whole show again next Friday, still in Seattle.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Like you said, we'll have a couple podcasts, and obviously HPC Wire will be covering the show top to bottom. I'll be there all week. Stop by if you see me. I'll be the guy running past you at 20 miles an hour. But
I hope we don't collide. You're running pretty fast, too. I love this show.
I love this show. Lots of stuff to do, lots of things to see, and looking forward to it all. So we'll see you there next week, I guess, and we'll start it all again.
I will see you there, Michael.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
So long.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.